Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 2nd of February, recording at 9:03 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Speaking from the center of the snowstorm in London. Okay, very unusual for us to get that. I'll be skating my way home, or sliding my way home. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little lower after Wall Street's sell-off on Friday. China, which opened up following the New Year holiday week, was up about 1%. That was the exception to the general decline. And European markets closed with modest declines here today. Wall Street was a bit mixed, slight tilt to the downside. S&P virtually unchanged, Dow down 64, NASDAQ composite up 18. Long-dated government bonds, they were firmer here today on recession fears. U.S. long bond, which has been under a lot of pressure recently, closed up a couple of points. And the U.S. dollar, on its index, it closed up just a fraction. But it's down from its highs on the day, but a quiet day in the currencies. And precious metals, they've sort of seesawed in here, but mostly in the minus column. And so we've got some losses here today. Gold is down $24 as I speak at 903.75. The others are experiencing smaller declines. Actually, palladium's up, up slightly. And industrial metals, a few more gainers than losers here today. Natural gas a little bit firmer, crude oil down a little bit. So it's a quiet day here overall. Grains and beans are weaker, but coffee and cocoa, I can see, are firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we are seeing a number of markets, particularly in Europe and in North America, well, the U.S. specifically, testing the November lows that were seen last year. It's a few of the Asian markets are not far off those levels, and then some of them are firmer with a slightly upward bias to the ranging. But needless to say, it's a nervous environment here overall. And in terms of the broader, bigger picture, we have one of continued deterioration in economic news. That's well known, but it never the less continues to amaze with the degree and severity of some of the economic meltdown that is ongoing, including the layoffs leading to rising unemployment. And stock markets technically are still within their overall downtrends as defined by the 200-day moving average as best seen on weekly charts. That's been the case all along and frequently mentioned here. However, trading activity since the October-November lows has been mostly of a ranging nature, which is a potential base formation characteristic. And some of the bears who are listening will also say, well, it can also be a redistribution process. In other words, a bit of a range was just a pause before markets resume their overall declines. And that is certainly a possibility. When we look at the entire picture, we see what was within several steps on the downside going back to 2007 for most indices. We see that last year that decline from May into November was particularly severe, very climactic. And that leads me to feel that we are less likely to see another big down leg for stock markets. What would be another big down leg? Another 30 or 40%, which some people are forecasting. I don't think that's likely, even in an overshoot case. Could the European and North American indices breach their November lows? Very easily, because those are close to hand, and support has been steadily eroded last month, and they're not doing much better at the start of February. Well, they're not doing better at the start of February. Some quite clear upward dynamics would be required to reaffirm those November lows, and we certainly have not had those yet. But so overall, this is still a tricky period in here. My best guess is that markets range in a somewhat choppy fashion, sideways to a bit lower before they range sideways to a bit higher in a lengthy base formation process overall. So how do we actually play it in here in this type of environment? Well, as I've said all along, if you want to buy, don't pay up for anything. If you want to play it uber safe and wait until the next uptrend is clearly established, well, markets will be 20-30% off the low at least when we actually have that type of situation. So read the Jeremy Grantham article. He's gradually feeding money into the markets at this level. He particularly likes emerging markets, and it's interesting piece. He was interviewed by Steve Forbes, of course, of Forbes magazine, and talks about some of the pressures that investment managers face. So one being that if you say that you think that the market could easily go lower in here, which he has, and if it does, and you've been putting clients' money back into the market, then they say, why on earth did you put my money back in the market when you thought that it was going to go lower? But then he says, conversely, there's at least a third of a chance that markets spike upwards, and if you had been saying, as he has, that there are some quite good values around, but you didn't buy, then they'd say, well, you're an idiot. Why didn't you buy when markets were down on their lows? And the point is that no one knows for sure where this is going to bottom or when this is actually going to turn. But when people like Jeremy Grantham see enough value to be nibbling in here and gradually working down the cash levels, I think that's probably a good indication for many of the rest of us. I have said all along that we wouldn't have confirmation that markets had bottomed and that a new uptrend had commenced until we saw markets break up out of trading ranges, maintain those breakouts, push above their 200-day moving averages, which would also turn upwards. Then we'll be in an uptrend. When's that going to happen? I don't know. Neither does anyone else. I've said all along that I thought the base building process could be fairly lengthy. But I do think that meanwhile, and this is not an environment for despair, despite the terrifying economic conditions out there, I think this is an environment where one can nibble on easing at value stocks. What's a value stock? Well, it's something that's certainly cheap on valuations. A lot of companies are. So it'll be something that has a pretty good dividend that is well covered. And that dividend can be quite a consolation in a ranging market environment. And I share Grantham's belief, as all but the newest subscribers will know, that emerging markets are going to do one heck of a lot better than most developed country markets in the next upturn, because they will have the much better growth rates, and that's what investors like. Meanwhile, there are lots of scare stories coming out on China, and there are also bull stories, of course, coming out on China. We publish some of both just so that you can see both views. China technically is still our candidate to lead on the upside because it has the it has a ranging pattern as well, but it's at the higher side of its ranging pattern, which is characterized by higher lows. And it's going to be the technical action that's going to show us where these markets are going to go in terms of timing, not the articles and reports or even comments by learned, noteworthy individuals. Okay, what else here? The long-dated government bonds. I think that the it's many people agree with me that the risks are quite high in this sector. On the other hand, as long as GDP is deteriorating, and I remain in the bearish camp on the global economic activity. I've said this all along that the global GDP growth is continuing to weaken. Now, there's a difference between global GDP trend of global GDP growth and the trend of stock markets. They will overlap for much of the time, but the stock markets will be the lead indicator. In other words, historically, stock markets have bottomed out some months on average. Some months can be anything from 1 to 11. They will bottom out before we get evidence that the global economy has bottomed. And of course, the global economy, evidence rather, that the global economy has bottomed will appear after the event. It'll take at least several months, probably a quarter, before that information comes through. So, again, I was talking about the long-dated government bonds. While people fear that the recession is deepening as it has been, and the risk of depression, however you define that, is rising, then bond yields are unlikely to move up too much. And then if you get central banks talking about quantitative easing, as we have certainly had with the Fed, and I think also a little bit with the Bank of England or on the Bank of England's behalf, then that can help to keep those bond markets firm for a little bit while longer. But if anybody thinks that all these reflation packages that we see, these vast stimulus programs, all this huge borrowing, if anybody thinks that that isn't going to have an inflationary sting at some point down the road, it may be 2 years or more away, but it's certainly going to be there. And if they don't think that, then they must feel that we're going to stay in some sort of deflationary environment in perpetuity. Not impossible, but very unlikely given the big stimulus packages. Remember, Japan didn't get serious about its reflation effort until 7 years into its 7 years after the market bubble and property bubbles had actually burst. So governments have moved a lot more quickly this time around. What else? Commodities. Got an interesting piece by John Mendelson, who thinks that the tracker funds are preventing or have prevented so far the soybeans and corn from reaching their eventual lows. And that's a bum trade. It's had a lot of publicity. There have been some quite outspoken comments in favor of agricultural commodities, as you know, if you've ever looked at Bloomberg and CNBC. And my preference is for the industrial sector and precious metals, most of all precious metals, because despite today's setback, they have improving technical patterns overall and are gradually overtaking the safe haven category of favor from government bonds, I suspect, for many people, for many private investors at any rate, and a number of institutional investors. If not governments, And the industrial metals are very bombed out. They're extremely cheap, supplies being cut back. But the agricultural commodities such as soybeans and corn have not fallen as much as the industrial metals, as I pointed out before, and as John Mendelson points out. And as he also emphasizes, that a shortage can turn into a surplus very quickly, because you're never more than 6 months away from a crop yield in whether South America or North America or any other part of the world. Contrast that with mining companies, which are worrying about the debt levels and are cutting back on development programs and mothballing a certain number of mines. When demand does pick up again, and it will pick up again, then there will be a scarcity of supplies, and we'll get quite a strong recovery in industrial metal prices. But right now, they appear to me to be in the very early stages of base formation development. You could say the same for crude oil. And so I will say the same for crude oil. And I think on that note, that's covered all the points I wanted to discuss with you this evening. So I'll just say all the very best to all of you.